I have a dream that all men are created equal.
Welcome back. This is the second piece of additional content that we have for you for your story episode 47 about Cliff Hawkins. This is actually the additional information that extends on the conversation that we had with Aunt Natalie about their son Christopher, about him being diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma and the treatment that he went through and some of the knock-on things that they had to deal with in regards to that. Please leave your comments over on the site, yourstorypodcast.com. If you have any more information or if you'd like to get in contact with them, please get in contact with me first and I'm sure that they'll be more than happy to have a bit of a chat with you. Also, there's some images on the site that we discussed during this particular interview. Here's Ant.
Hi, everyone. My name's Anthony, but everyone calls me Ant. I suppose this story is not my story, but it's a story of our son, Christopher. The short story, in a sense, is last year he developed a bit of a cough around November, December, coming into the holidays, and it was persistent, and it just was a dry cough, and we tend to cure ourselves. Anyway, we eventually got annoyed with it, and he got annoyed with it, and we started going to the doctors around February, March. Yeah, so eventually it still didn't really go away, and coming into May, it's coming into winter again, he's still got this cough, and we're getting concerned, so we thought, well, let's go to the doctor and get an x-ray at least, see what's going on in the chest. Could be lung-related or anything. We got the x-ray, and they saw a bit of a enlarged heart, and they thought, well, something's happening in the chest area there. So anyway, I said, well, let's go for a biopsy. So on the 5th of June, Natalie called me at about 1 o'clock and said, get here immediately. Chris has just been admitted to hospital. On the Wednesday before, this was a Friday, on the Wednesday before, actually, called Cliff and I ordered this ginger. I knew nothing of it. He said, look, just order it. I didn't even know what Christopher had potentially have. I don't know if everyone knows, but around your heart, you've got a sac which protects your heart. And this sac holds about 200 to 300 mL of liquid. Anyway, this sac was chockers. It was full. That night, actually, he went in and they stuck a needle into this heart sac and they withdrew 2.5 litres of fluid from his heart. In the meantime, I had been administering Christopher the ginger, and I've been giving him some nutrition. A friend of mine's got 12 years. Yeah, he's been a nutritionist for 12 years, so I'm giving him plant-based nutrition just to get his wellness up. Anyway, come 18th of June, they decided, we're going to do a full biopsy, so under general anaesthetic. That almost killed him. They cut him open, and they poked around. They cut out bits and pieces of the lymph area around the chest. That biopsy finally showed occasional Reed Sternberg cells. Bingo, we've got a diagnosis. So you've got Hodgkin's lymphoma. Now, the size of this thing was 13.5 centimetres by 9.5 centimetres. 13 centimetres is depth from the top of your neck sort of thing down to around the bottom of middle of your rib cage, half the depth, I think, back into your chest. It's not like a tumour as such. The normal lymph cells had become cancerous.
So what was the idea of treatment at that point?
I had been, as such, giving him nutrition for the 18 days before that. He was basically on life support for 3.5 days after the biopsy because they irradiated him. They did give him one dose of chemo as a burst. Their therapy is chemotherapy. It's not chemo cure, but it's chemotherapy. So Chris had to make the ultimate decision because of his body. The waiting game between the 18th and the 30th is when we left hospital. That was, again, it's a difficult time because it was umming and ahhing about what was there and what was available and what we can do and the faith that it was actually working what we were doing, but there was no physical evidence. You can have faith jumping off a cliff blindfolded, but if you got a parachute strapped to your back, you may not see it, but you have faith that you're going to fly. Similarly here, we couldn't see. They were not forthcoming in terms of analysing any further. They were happy. They got a diagnosis, full stop. They don't want to analyse anymore. So when I started pressing them towards the end of our stay there, I asked them, look, can we have another PET scan? Now, the PET scan's quite interesting because it shows up in colour what a normal, and in colour and 3D, what a normal x-ray might show. The beauty of that is you can see the tumour. And I've actually got vivid diagrams that Cliff has put together of the three PET scans that we've had. And you see in the first one, there's massive redness where the chest area is. Now, on the second PET scan, there's nothing there. Because we're still in hospital, having had one PET scan on the 12th of June, And here we are on the 21st to the 30th of June.
When you had that first PET scan, he'd been diagnosed with it?
It was just before that they did the second biopsy, okay, and it was showed up redness. That's all that they could see. They saw redness, and that wasn't definitive. They needed molecular or biological evidence. And the redness shows up highly active cells. Now, your brain will show up red, your kidneys show up red in these PET scans. Follow-up PET scans were basically when we had exited the system. They didn't want us to leave because they effectively, on the day we left, they said, during that course they were booking Christopher in for chemotherapy the following week. He only had one dose of, just as in one shot, when he was under emergency, in ICU. Now, the course is 24 injections. Now, they were reluctant to let us go. And even on that day, when Natalie and Christopher were walking out of the hospital, they said, look, now we want you to have chemo tomorrow. And they were sort of shattered by this. They were saying, no way. Like, we want to go home and rest for a couple of days. His condition now is not life-threatening. It's not like he's going to keel over. We want to go home and find our feet and clear our heads a little bit before we get stuck into this next week. I mean, you've booked us in next week. What's the urgency now? Christopher wasn't feeling too well, so he decided he'd postpone the first lot. As it happened, the next lot, he decided to postpone, Christopher decided to postpone, and so it goes until he finally decided that he's not having it. During the course of that time, we'd found an external doctor who had 15 years' experience in general and hematological specialist, and also an oncologist specialist. So, you know, he had massive experience, and we put our care, or Christopher's care, into his hands, and he decided to run a second PET scan. He had a third PET scan not long ago in October.
So what came up in the second and third PET scans?
Well, this is the interesting thing. The doctors, they almost brush over actual physical evidence and results. Cliff has a friend. He's quite well known in the industry for radiology and all that sort of thing. So Cliff's gone to this gentleman, and he's laid out the three PET scans. Cliff's not a biologist, but we're looking at the pictures and we think, well, there's some redness there, but what is it? The radiologist specialist said, there's no one that could tell me that after the second PET scan that Christopher had cancer. So that's 40 days after we were admitted to hospital. This radiographer's looking at the PET scan and said, there's no cancer there.
So would the radiographer have identified cancer in that first PET scan?
Oh, he did, yeah. He said quite clearly, yeah. In the first one, there's redness, there's tumorous lesions there. There is a tumour there, definitely, Hodgkin's lymphoma. The second one was clear. The third one is clear as well. But our specialist basically has glossed over that critical piece of evidence right in front of him. Actual written report comes back that the disease is progressive. Now, what does that mean? And yet, when you look at the third CT scan, which was done by an independent doctor at an independent lab who knows nothing of Christopher's condition, all he had to do was look at the three CAT scans together. His CAT scan report said, treated Hodgkin's lymphoma. The third PET scan said, the disease is progressive. That's what they've hung their hat on. The doctor, the specialist, has said, well, what are you guys going to do? So what do you mean? He's fine. And by this stage, I'd had these diagrams, and Cliff and I had worked out that he had nothing there. So we were we're scratching our heads and saying, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, for treatment. And I said, well, why does he need treatment? And I said, well, Christopher's sitting right next to me. I said, you best talk to him because it's his body. So the doctor looked at Christopher and he said, so, you know, what do you want to do? And Christopher said, there's no way that I would have chemo.
You're basically saying that the doctors identified that there was Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Yes.
Down the track, a second PET scan and the CT scans showed that it appeared to be gone.
But yes.
The diagnosis was there, so therefore
yes,
treatment needed to be enacted. So
yes,
the doctors, despite the fact the evidence showed that there was nothing there, because it once existed, wanted to keep moving.
Yes, because it becomes now a legal issue. It's not a medical issue. See, they are fearful of retribution or, you know, being sued if something goes wrong. This is the whole thing with the medical industry. This is where they prescribe things and you should take them. If something happens when you take them, they are covered under their insurances. Whereas if you decline to take it as an adult, that might be fair enough. They can't really do anything about that. But as a child, you're sort of in that buffer zone. When we were at home, we had the actual legal department calling us from the hospital saying, what are you guys going to do? And we kept having to say, well, we're under the care of another doctor specialist outside. Is that okay? And they go, yeah, that's fine. What are you going to do, though? I said, well, we're seeing him. They said, you're going to come back? I said, yeah, well, we might come back. So I always have to leave that door open, you know, because of that aspect from the medical system. The system defines the children. This is another story, but the system defines children as wards of the state. We're in a three-way relationship with the state in terms of a guardianship of our children. This gives you an idea of the control of the state over our children and over us. New South Wales is called DOCS, which is the Department of Community Services. Now, they look after, you know, obviously abused children, all this sort of thing. You know, they do a great job. You've got to take your hat off to them because they have some trying situations. Well, last week, I'm at work and I get a text from Christopher saying, guess what? I've just been interviewed by DOCS. They basically ambushed him. And they, through legislation, all that sort of thing, they say that they have the right at the initial interview is basically to pull aside a child, doesn't matter where they are, to go to the child and question them. The doctors obviously wrote or spoke to them and said, we have reason to believe that Christopher is not making his own decisions and he's under threat. The principal, who's a great man there, he couldn't notify us. He couldn't notify Christopher. He just had to call him up to the office. There's two people here to see you. So anyway, what happened is that effectively they interviewed him, they asked him questions, they came to the conclusion that he was fine. He walked out of the office and he turned around and looked at them and said, well, do I look sick to you? And I had to look at Chris and say, no, not really. Anyway, they said to Chris, you know, that they'll be ringing me that night. Anyway, the gentleman was kind enough to ring me that night, as promised. And he said, look, Christopher's, you know, a great, great young man, level-headed, very mature. He knows exactly what he's doing. We're very happy with, you know, what he told us. As far as we're concerned, the case is closed. But yet there's still possibly and potentially a legal issue. But doctors can still potentially, you know, get a court order or anything like that to force us into treatment, which if people have seen the news recently, there's been quite a number of cases like that with the Perth girl and the young boy in America. That they basically had to flee their town to avoid, you know, forced medication.
It's the only reason that people are saying that, no, Christopher does not have it. They're not prepared to admit that because he once had it.
That is my opinion, because the diagnosis still stands. And this was the bone of contention when we were in hospital. I was asking them to another analysis. I said, at the 30th of June, I said, you did this biopsy back, you know, on the 18th. That's 12 days ago. The data is old now, even back on the 12th. The data is old. I want another check on how big this thing is, what it is, quantify it. Don't just give me, you know, past data, because I had so much faith that the ginger and the nutrition was doing its job that, you know, I wanted more evidence. I wanted it. And they refused, because once they've got a diagnosis, they've got an actual legal requirement to provide treatment. And this is what I think is a bit of an issue. It's an undercurrent, and no one will ever put it in writing or admit it face to face. But the fact is that it's happened naturally. They cannot admit it because they haven't provided the treatment. So therefore, they cannot provide a reason why he has been cured.
Did you order the ginger from Cliff simply because you had a feeling that...
Yes, I did. I did. And I'd spoken to him and I thought, well, you know, it won't do any harm. No, it's a pep up. I know, I knew from my research anyway, the ginger's a great pep up. You know, ginger pills are used for seasickness. They prevent nausea. They're actually one of the best things you can have during chemo, even though they don't like it. The doctors don't like it because it thins your blood. So they don't like anything that interferes potentially with some of the medication they give you, which is the steroids and the chemo. They don't really like it, but I've heard a lot of people having ginger whilst they're on chemo. It doesn't hurt. It actually helps and assists with nausea.
Okay, so maybe chance, good luck, guidance, whatever you want to call it, decide to get this product from Cliff. What do you think actually happened by taking it, and how do you think it would have gone if you hadn't been taking this ginger?
That's, once again, it's another hard question. It can only be, you know, an opinion. As I said, I do a lot of research myself, and obviously in hindsight now, having researched and read a lot, I didn't just, you know, full on faith. I was very curious as to what it did. I mean, Cliff helped us massively with interpreting a lot of the blood tests, which is another secondary, if you like, evidence that Christopher's getting better. I mean, his blood tests are fantastic. Bottom line, it helped him. Basically, it went in there. Anywhere the blood went, the ginger goes. it effectively went in there and it started to break down the bad proteins of the cancerous cells. The cancerous cells get opened up from the effect of the ginger on them, and then your own body's defenses actually take over. So effectively, the ginger is an assistant to your own body's defenses to go in there and actually cure you.
So do you feel that in this situation, the ginger fixed the problem?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. It was a catalyst. It was part of it. I threw everything by the kitchen sink at Christopher. So, you know, I can't say I just had the ginger, but there's quite a lot of people now that we're assisting that are just simply having the ginger and that have been given months and they're turning the page and they're getting better. There's great evidence out there already. So it's not just my case. We're not the only one. There's many, many people. Cliff's a great man. You know, he should be nominated for Australian of the Year, in my opinion. I mean, the gentleman just helps all the time. I mean, he was on the phone, you know, at every opportunity. Any time I called him, yeah, it's a good time to talk. Yeah, let's talk.
What would have happened if you hadn't gone with the ginger, being in the system? What would have happened?
Well, my opinion, he wouldn't be with us. I can tell you half a dozen stories just right now about people that having been told they got 6 months to live, that's fine, then decide, okay, well, I'll have chemo. They're dead within 2 weeks. So many stories. You know, they admit to it or they don't admit to it. They say, oh, the cancer killed them. But the chemo accelerates it. The chemo and the radiation will actually metastasize cancer. People don't realize that. You don't kill it properly and it will go somewhere else and it will fall in another area, it will grow. The whole thing with your body is that your body can protect you. Your body protects us from about 10,000 or more cancer cells every day. That's how many it knocks out.
In order to just wrap this up, from this experience in the last, but it's only 12 months, what's your opinion?
We're at Christopher's school ceremony the other day. He came first in two subjects. Great. Imagine that. Like he was in hospital 6 months ago, and I was looking at the time, and I thought 6 months ago he was just admitted to hospital. Yeah. You know, and now 6 months later he's coming first in two subjects. So as a take home, I said, I'd love everyone to get behind Cliff. Cliff's got a great product there with the ginger. It's a great, you know, look for all those good reasons on his website at buyahawk.com.au. It's a great product. It doesn't hurt you. If you do have cancer, look into it. Keep the good food happening. Just keep healthy.
Would you recommend people to look into Buyahawk?
Definitely. Just the time that he spent with us is priceless. Just be wise and be mindful and listen to your heart, listen to your mind.
Hi, I'm Natalie. And I'm Christopher's mum. And I'm the converted.
Why are you converted?
I've seen everything that this ginger's done to this boy, to our boy, and the nutrition and everything that we've put into him. He was like a broken boy. Now, oh my goodness, unbelievable. And he enjoys the ginger.
Now, you said literally you're the converted because you didn't totally, you weren't completely on side with this originally, is that correct?
I was never completely on side with the chemo, but with the ginger, I always said it won't hurt. But now, I'm a total ginger freak. And whenever I hear anybody that's sick, look, I've had Christopher's teachers ringing me, you know, women with breast cancer and everything, because Christopher tells them everything what he's doing at school. They've rung me asking me, well, what, you know? And I said, well, get them onto this. I give them the website. I said, that's all I can do.
Natalie, I'm so glad you stuck your head in.
I can't help it, but I mean, I've been listening and I mean, I just think, oh man, it's been a tough 6 months. And look, we've got.
She just thinks I'm a total crackpot because of my faith has just grown so much more.
I'm not as crazy as this man, okay? But he definitely. Look, we've got friends, they've got a board ginger, but it's not the same as Cliff's, but they think the ginger's the thing.
Yeah.
They will be buying Cliff's ginger.
Everything that's on the jar is what's in there. It's just a combination of those things, the enhancement with the oil and with the stuff in there. He tells you everything that's on there.
If Christopher was here, I reckon Christopher would have had his 2 cents worth as well. Anybody does want to get in touch with us through you, if you get us their number, we will call them.
Yeah,
I'll be happy to call.
Sounds good, guys.
Okay.
Bye.
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 You both. Bye.
There are 8 million stories in the naked city. This has been one of them.